Day 452, Wednesday, June 26. Hosea 4 and 5. Hosea 4, 119 NKJV. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint, with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. I'll let no man contend, or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in the day, the prophet also shall stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, they set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be, like people, like priest, so I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough, they shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. They offer sacrifices on the mountain tops, and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots, and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore people who do not understand will be trampled. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Avon, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. For Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf, now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Frame is joined to idols, let him alone, their drink is rebellion, they commit harlotry continually, her rulers dearly love dishonor, the wind has wrapped her up in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Hosea 5, 115 NKJV. Hear this, O priests, take heed, O house of Israel, give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment. Because you have been a snare to Mitzpah and a net spread on Tabor, the revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry, Israel is defiled. Hey, do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeon, the trumpet in Ramah, cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked by human precept. Therefore I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareb, yet he cannot cure you, nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away, I will take them away, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense, then they will seek my face, in their affliction they will earnestly seek me. Daily deep dive, the UCG reading plan states, as Israel went through its final rulers, Hosea's preaching continued. The prophet now lists many of the sins of Israel, evident in his own day as well as in the end time. Verse 1 mentions an absence of truth, mercy and knowledge. Actually, the phrase no truth or mercy can also be translated no faithfulness or loyalty, as it is in the New Revised Standard Version. See Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of Old and New Testament Words, Old Testament section, Loving Kindness, Explanation of Hebrew Heist. God had been faithful and loyal, but the Israelites hadn't, to God or to each other. Concerning their lack of knowledge, as we read earlier in the book of Amos, they do not know to do right. 3:10. Thus, it was not knowledge in general that they lacked, but right moral knowledge. Hosea 4:2 mentions violations of 5 of the 10 commandments, and the people's unrestrained murder causes the land to mourn. Verses 2:3, because the land is defiled by it. Numbers 35 hours and 33 minutes 34. In our own day, criminal justice systems often fail to appropriately deal with murderers, contributing, along with wayward societal values, to high murder rates. Worse still, consider the legal murder of well over a million unborn children every year in the United States alone. References to the people's unfaithfulness clearly illustrate a fundamental truth obscured within traditional Christianity today, that in a covenant relationship with God, human beings have obligations divinely imposed on them, and God holds people to those expectations. Of course, the behavior He expects from people for their part of the covenant relationship is all for their ultimate good. Hosea then turned his attention to the priests and prophets, the ones responsible for teaching the people moral standards. The Hebrew of verses 4-5 of chapter 4 isn't clear and has been variously translated. The New Living Translation renders it as, "Don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. Look, you priests, my complaint is with you. As a sentence for your crimes, you will stumble in broad daylight, just as you might at night, and so will your false prophets, and I will destroy your mother, Israel." Jeroboam I, under whom the northern kingdom had formed after the death of Solomon, had rejected the true Levitical priests, and many of them had left and gone back to Judah where they had a better chance of teaching the truth and practicing God's way of life. 2 Chronicles 11 13-16. Jeroboam had appointed his own priests from other tribes instead of doing it God's way. 1 Kings 13:33, compare 12:31. Furthermore, there were false prophets in the land. Many of these priests and prophets claimed to represent the true God but, of course, did not. The situation parallels that of religion today, with all manner of people serving as supposed ministers of God throughout the world yet who really don't serve Him, indeed, don't even know Him, rejecting His holy laws. In Hosea 4:6, we learn that the lack of knowledge noted in verse 1 is the reason God's people are destroyed, and we also learn that their lack of knowledge is due to a willful rejection of God's truth by the religious leaders. How true this is today. Many preachers today teach in direct contradiction to God's word, even though they ought to know better. Supposedly having studied the Bible, they refuse to accept that the Bible means what it says. Perhaps some indeed do know better but have selfish motivations for continuing to misrepresent the Bible's teachings. In verse 8, the priests are seen glorying in the nation's lawlessness because this allows them to eat up the sin of the people. In Hosea's day, this referred to sin offerings. The more people sinned, the more they brought sin offerings that the priests could eat, thereby providing these counterfeit priests with some of their livelihood. Compare 6:6, 8:11-13, 1 Samuel 2:12-17. Even today, some try to relieve their guilt for their own sins through monetary offerings to a church, and there are religious leaders who actually encourage this type of thinking, though not directly stated. Next, God addresses the spiritual harlotry of His people. Hosea 4:10-14. They turn to false religion, following worthless popular custom rather than worshiping God the way He intended. See Jeremiah 2:11, Matthew 15:9. Also, they become enslaved to habits and addictions, including alcohol, drug and sexual addictions. Hosea 4:11. Judah is then given a warning to not follow Israel's evil example. Verse 15. At this point in Hosea's prophecy, it appears that Judah was not mired in one of its idolatrous periods. It seems likely that chapter 4 was written either while Uzziah still reigned over Judah or during his son Jotham's reign. In any event, God tells Judah not to go up to Beth-Aven, verse 15, which means house of iniquity, a sarcastic reference to the important religious center Bethel, which means house of God. See Amos 5:5, the Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 15, full stop. Yet Judah had sinned in other respects, and God knew they would soon follow in Israel's footsteps. 5:5, chapter 4 ends with a reference to Ephraim, which afterward becomes a routine reference to the people of the northern kingdom and their descendants throughout the remainder of the book. Ephraim was God's firstborn, Jeremiah 31:9. Spiritually speaking, and instructions or warnings given to the firstborn would also apply to the rest of the family, because the firstborn is considered responsible for guidance and leadership, judgment to come on Israel and Judah. As mentioned earlier, from this point on in the prophecy, the tribe of Ephraim gets special mention. It is Ephraim that receives the greatest condemnation. The Bethel altar was in Ephraim, which meant that it played a leading role in influencing the whole nation, and, being the leading tribe of Israel, Ephraim is used here to represent the entire northern kingdom. Nelson Study Bible, note on 4:17-19, the reference to snare and net in verse 1 is to tools for trapping prey. The figure is that of people being hurt, as if hunted and trapped, by the religious and civil leaders of the day. Expositor's Bible Commentary, note on verse 1, Mount Tabor was in the northern part of the northern kingdom while Mizpah was in the extreme south, just north of Jerusalem, from top to bottom, from north to south, seemingly on every hill in the land. Idolatrous traps were set to ensnare the Israelites in Sin Gotcha. Word in Life Bible, 1998, sidebar on 5, 1, Israel is pictured wallowing in spiritual harlotry, verses 3-4, Hosea says, they do not know the Lord, verse 4, as we later learn from the Apostle John, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 2 verses 3 to 4, Israel, refusing to obey God, does not know him. The people seek the Lord, wanting the benefits of his blessings. Verse 6, but they aren't prepared to follow his ways. Verse 7, they have even corrupted their children. Verse 7, the illegitimate children, as the NIV renders it, pagan in the NKJV, are literally strange, czar. Their parents' sins have twisted them as well. Never suppose that our sins have no impact on our children. They do. Bible Reader's Companion, note on verse 7. Hosea then turns his attention to Judah, Gibeah and Ramah, verse 8, were strategically important cities of the tribe of Benjamin on the northern border of Judah. Benjamin was a part of the kingdom of Judah, Beth-Aven apparently being a reference to Bethel through a play on words, common in the Hebrew Bible. The warning is even more important since Bethel was on the southern border of Israel, close to the Benjamite cities. Thus Benjamin faced a dual challenge, to resist the corrupting spiritual influence of the north, and to prepare to resist the Assyrians who would soon invade Israel. Note on verse 8, yet Judah's leaders are also shown to be behaving badly. Hosea likened them to someone who moves the boundary lines of property, intent on stealing. Verse 10, therefore, God pronounces judgment on both nations. Verses 10-12, and time Judah, the Jews of today, have likewise followed the modern descendants of ancient Israel in many sins. We next see Israel and Judah looking to Assyria for help. While Hosea preached, Israel began paying tribute to Assyria. 2 Kings 15:19-20, and Ahaz of Judah sought assistance from Assyria. 16:5-9, the reference to King Jerob, verse 13, is uncertain. There is no historical Assyrian reference to such a king, but the word Jerob meant warrior, fighter, or he will contend. Some translate King Jerob as simply the great king. Most commentators believe this to be a reference to Tiglath-Pileser III, yet, as the prophecy is likely also, or even primarily, for the last days, the reference would seem to apply first to the end-time Assyrian ruler, apparently the coming European dictator referred to in the book of Revelation as the beast. Verses 14-15, while perhaps having some application to the ancient Assyrian invasion, refer mainly to the coming Great Tribulation, as Hosea 6:1-3 makes clearer. In fact, it appears that Israel and Judah are shown here being devastated at the same time. 5:14. This did not happen in ancient times, but it is going to happen in the future. The chapter ends with God going away until his punishment has its intended effect of bringing Israel and Judah to repentance. And Hosea 4, verse 4. The Albert Barnes commentary states, God had made it a part of the office of the priest to keep knowledge. Mal 2, 7. He had bidden that all hard causes should be taken to do. 17:8-12. The priest who stood to minister there before the Lord their God, and whose refused the priest's sentence was to be put to death. The priest was then to judge in God's name, as speaking in his name, in his stead, with his authority, taught by himself. They were called by that name, in which they spoke. Elohim Exo 21, 6, Exo 22, 8, 9. God, not in regard to themselves but as representing him, to strive then with the priest was the highest contumacy, and such was their whole life, and conduct. It was the character of the whole kingdom of Israel. For they had thrown off the authority of the family of Aaron, which God had appointed.